Chapter 2. Lair. The last time Sevatar wept had been as a boy on the edge of becoming a man. After that night, over a century ago, the boy he'd been never grew to manhood. Instead, he became a weapon, growing into a life with neither the need for emotion nor the time for tears. Even seeing his gene father in the apothecarian didn't move him to sorrow. He wasn't sure why. And yet he could hear seasoned warriors, murderers and flayers and torturers all, praying and weeping across the Legion's mass relay vox network. The Lunar Wolves had sounded the same when Horus was wounded. Sevatar hadn't understood it then, and he didn't understand it now. The easy expression of emotion was just something that happened to other people. Kurz lay on the surgical slab, tended by blood-stained Legion apothecaries and the insectile arms of semi-automated Medicaid tenders attached to the ceiling. The press of bodies prevented a clear look, but Sevatar wasn't optimistic. He'd caught a glance at the Primarch's severed throat, the flesh knitted in ragged cohesion, while the entire chamber reeked of spilled blood. There was something raw and primal in the scent, something beyond the coppery smell of human life. The Emperor alone knew what the Primarchs really were. Sevatar had no inclination to waste time guessing. But if the Primarch died... The thought ended there. He couldn't carry it any further. To try was no different from imagining a colour never before conceived, or recalling a song never before heard. His mind rebelled at the very effort. How did a legion function without its guiding hand? Without its lord, mentor, and genetic sire? Father was too trite a word when dealing with such concepts. Father implied mortality. Fathers died. Sevatar remembered Istvan all too well. Although he spent much of that miserable massacre grinding through warriors of the Raven Guard, he'd been blade to blade with the Iron Hands when Lord Manus, their Primarch, fell. He'd seen the psychic echo rip through them, subtle in some, ravaging in others. Every single warrior in the black of the 10th Legion had reacted with a fury suddenly unrestrained, all hesitation cast aside, all notion of a defensive battle forgotten. Sevatar still carried scars from that battle. He could have had them sealed and healed by augmetic surgery or synthetic skin grafts, but he preferred to keep them as they were. They were some of the few things he wholly owned himself in an existence of slavery to gene-wrought gods of war. He looked down at his gauntleted hands, weaponless and painted crimson. Months ago, he told the Dark Angels the truth. That to bear hands of sinners red was a gangland custom from Nostramo, forced upon those who failed their families. The fate of traitors and fools carried into the 8th Legion as it conquered the stars. The Ultramarines had taken that tradition, as they took so much from the other legions. It was less severe, less grave among the warriors of Ultramar. To them, a helm of red merely meant censure. To the sons of Nostramo, the Crimson Hands were a death sentence, the mark of the condemned. Sevatar had earned his red hands on Istvan V for failures too great to forgive. Even the memory made him smile with an actual edge of sincerity, as so few things ever did. He lived life on borrowed time, every night a gift from the Primarch, until Lord Kurz chose the hour of his execution. The wet rasp of laboured breathing drew his attention, though he didn't need to look up. He smelled the man's wax candle scent, the musk of fine parchment, and old, old blood pushed through weak veins by a slow heart. The newcomer reeked of age, and therefore of weakness. Sevatar shuddered.
Trez, he greeted the archivist.
The old man nodded in reply, wheezing into a rebreather mask.
When did you come over from the Nightfall?
I just arrived, Jago. I came to get you.
Please come back to the flagship with me. I have something to show you, and we have something to discuss.
The doors rolled open, freeing the smell of an open grave. Trez entered, still heaving shallow exhalations into his rebreather. Sevatar followed, his boots thudding on the decking, echoing off the arched walls. Trez ignored the bodies hanging on chains. Sevatar didn't. Rare were the moments he entered his Primarch's inner sanctum, and despite everything he'd seen and done in over a century of serving in the Great Crusade, Kurz's private chamber always made his skin crawl. Here he saw the madness within his father's mind, pushed out to infect the surrounding world. A psyche's truths, written in skinned bodies and desecrated remains. Trez sucked in a ragged breath, moisture droplets gathered in the transparent oxygen mask he wore, dewing before his thin lips.
He talks to them.
Talks to who?
Trez gestured to the bodies.
Them.
Sevatar reached out to one of the hanging corpses, giving its scourged naked torso a gentle shove. The body rocked back and forth on its chains. Something dark and wet trickled from its open mouth, spattering onto the floor.
Delightful, the Night Lord said.
He turned back to the archivist.
What do you want of me, little man? I have a legion to piece back together.
Trez brought his old bones over to a chair by a wooden desk, sized accordingly for a human. With no evidence of impatience, he started leafing through parchments, the papers fluttering softly in his arthritic hands.
You have never understood the man you serve,
he said, without looking up from his work.
None of his warriors ever have. Does that not seem like a risible flaw to you, Jago?
Jago, thought the captain. That's twice now.
My name is Sevatar. Indeed.
Trez smoothed his thinning white hair back from his cratered features, arranging a piece of parchment on the desk until it was placed just so. He read the words from the cream-coloured paper between rebreather wheezes.
Jago Sevatarian, born in City's Edge. First captain of the 8th Legion, commander of the Atramenta, officer of the Chiroptera, known also by the names Sevatar the Condemned and...
Trez snorted, shaking his head.
And by the rather amusing title, Prince of Crows.
Sevatar removed his helm with a snap hiss of air pressure venting from unlocked collar seals. He breathed in the chamber's abattoir smell, his expression thoughtful.
I'm not sure I like your tone. The last man to sneer at me like that soon wished he hadn't, little archivist. Oh?
Trez looked up, curiosity writ plain across his weathered visage.
And who might that have been?
I don't recall his name.
I was given to understand all warriors of the Legiones Astartes were gifted with eidetic recall, a hololithic memory, if you will.
We are, Sevatar admitted.
I just never asked his name. I was rather preoccupied skinning him alive at the time.
Well, tell me what you want of me, Trez. I doubt you've mistaken me for someone famed for the virtue of patience.
The old man's grin showed a blunt arsenal of age-darkened teeth.
You will need patience if you wish to lead this legion.
Sevatar laughed, drawing the spicy, meaty scent of unrefrigerated cadavers into his lungs.
Even you are sure Lord Kurz will die. Even you, his devoted little ape creature, have given him up as dead. Whatever will you do once you can no longer eat the mud from our master's boots, Trez? It would grieve me to see you starve to death.
The archivist went back to his parchments, still smiling into his rebreather.
I know your secret, Jago.
I have no secrets.
Trez ran his fingertips over the Nostraman lettering, his fingers following the flow of inked words.
He told me, Jago. He tells me everything.
Sevatar tilted his head, black eyes unblinking.
I have no secrets, he said again.
Then why do you hide from slumber, First Captain? Why do you force yourself to remain awake for weeks on end? Why, if you have no secrets, do you wake up with cold blood flowing through your pounding heart on the rare nights you surrender to sleep?
Sevatar's smile was as cold and just as motionless as the peeled-back rictus grin showing on the face of every chained corpse in the chamber. He said a single word, neither consciously weighted with threat nor invested with any emotion at all. Just a single word, scarcely above a whisper, breathed through a dead man's smile.
Careful.
Trez had to look away. The tremble in his hands couldn't entirely be blamed on arthritis this time.
Sevatar,
he said.
Ah, so now I'm Sevatar. Now, once you've pushed me to the point of losing my temper, you decide to show me an iota of respect.
The captain stalked closer, his armor joints thrumming. Up close, the rumble of active power armor made Trez's gums itch. Sevatar crouched by the seated old man, his black eyes forming pits in his pale face as he stared.
What has he told you, Trez? What did my father share with his little eater of dreams?
The old man forced the words through quivering lips.
The truth.
The First Captain's grin returned, a liar's smile, never reaching his dark eyes.
You think I won't kill you right here, right now?
The Primarch.
The Primarch lies dying aboard another ship. Even if he walked in here this very moment, do you think I care? You disgust me, old man.
The Night Lord cupped the Elder's jaw in his gauntleted fingers. A single twist, a soft squeeze, and the archivist's skull would shatter in the warrior's grip.
The stink of your slow blood and worn skin, the fading rhythm of the ancient heart in your chest, and now the spill of such dangerous words from these careless lips.
Sevatar released the old man's head.
You make it easy to hate you, Trez.
I can help you. That's why I wanted to speak with you. I can help you.
Sevatar rose to his feet, already reaching for his helmet as he walked away.
I don't need your help.
Trez cleared his throat, his voice husked by doubt.
It isn't working anymore, is it? The training? The meditation? You can't hold the pain inside the way you once could.
He didn't even look back.
You know nothing, human.
You're lying, Jago.
Sevatar masked his white face beneath the skullish helm. Chiropteran wings rose from the helmet in a feral crest, cast in dark iron. His voice was a vox-altered snarl.
I am the sun of the sunless world, and 8th Legion to my call. Of course I'm lying, Trez. It's what we do.